share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And welcome to another fun-filled, exciting version and day of our wonderful radio show that is broadcast throughout the country and in many countries across the globe. So we're really, really busy. I wanted to update everybody on our new training classes. Although they're not new to us, they are new to being offered to the general public. We are going to be offering training classes for those people who are interested, who are from shelters or rescues or other groups who are involved in the rescue community. As most of you know, we are very big at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids on rescue dogs. That being said, we certainly welcome all kinds of people dealing with all different kinds of dogs in all different kinds of situations. So we have a number of wonderful AKC breeders like myself who donate their own purebred champion line dogs to our program at Merlin's Kids, as well as our SD2 program. So what exactly are we looking for? Well, if you have a rescue or shelter and you've got some dogs that might fit some of our criteria, I'm going to go through that right now so that everybody can understand what kind of dogs do we look for. One of the frustrating things is when somebody contacts us or contacts me personally and says, hey, I got this great dog. He'd be a great service dog. He'd be a great therapy dog. He does have a bite history on 3 children. Okay, let's just go back to square one here. That does not make a great service or therapy dog. A great service or therapy dog, and they're quite different. I'm going to go through that, the differences between. A great dog, period, service, therapy, companion, dog is not one with a bite history. Now, does that mean that I can't fix it? No, that's all I do. As a matter of fact, I do usually 2 to 3 classes per day, pretty much 5 or 6 days a week. So 15 classes a week, roughly, that I average when I'm not traveling extensively. Of those dogs, a good 2/3 of them have bite histories. That doesn't mean they can't be rehabilitated. We can rehabilitate those dogs. The problem is that because we're working with the potential, especially when working with people with a weaker energy, such as special needs children, veterans, or firefighters with PTSD, or any of these other people who are, you know, claiming to need a dog or genuinely needing a dog, the thing that we do want to remember is when you have a dog that has a behavioral issue, although, yes, I can fix it, and our amazing team at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, yes, we can fix pretty much anything, maybe 3 or 4 dogs out of 25,000 I couldn't fix. And that's usually because of a brain tumor or inoperable fungal lesion or some kind of really serious genetic or physiological problem. But what it also means is you have to be realistic. Anytime you have any dog, and especially with, you know, people with a different kind of energy or weaker or unstable or unbalanced energy, what can happen is those people can actually create certain issues in the dog. What does that mean? It means that if you have a dog with a bite history and that dog is in with other people or animals with an unstable or unbalanced energy, unfortunately, it's going to be a predisposition to that in that type of situation. So that, what does that mean? Can we fix the dog? Yes. But if the same exact things that happened to start with that created those behavioral or allowed those behavioral issues in that dog to develop, now what that means is, unfortunately, that dog has that as a possibility. It's kind of like having a precancerous lesion. Doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. It just means that if you do the wrong thing or if the same situation and circumstances present themselves again, chances are that that is going to do what we don't want it to do and either turn into a cancer or turn into a behavioral issue for a dog. So how can we prevent that? We can prevent it by making sure that we place dogs in the right situations to begin with, and that we give counseling and help, behavioral help, not just obedience, which is definitely fun, but really genuinely working with dogs behaviorally. Just today I was speaking with a lovely, lovely gentleman I know for quite a while, and he has a hunting dog, and it's a rare breed hunting dog. And we were discussing about the purpose of a dog. And his dog is just awesome hunting, really driven. But unfortunately, he was following someone's advice, who's supposedly an expert in hunting. I know nothing about that, but it was a gun dog trainer. So the suggestion was that they let the dog run and basically have no restrictions or structure. When the dog was young, so for its first year, it got used to chasing things around and following. And that sounds, on the surface, as, you know, being pretty, I guess, good for what they're doing. But the problem is that now the dog at 3 or 4 years of age has no structure. He has no rules. He has no set pattern. And who the heck are you to get in the way of him and his bird? So, unfortunately, this dog right now, instead of being a fantastic gun dog, is a behavioral issue. Not a mean dog, not an aggressive dog, but he's just over the top. So there is definitely a balance that we're going to strike, just a gentle balance between having the dog be able to develop and have a wonderful life, have a wonderful purpose, and turning into a spoiled brat or a dangerous dog. So the first 14 months is very important. So what do we look for in a potential service dog? We do not typically look at puppies because puppies can change. We have this right now with someone that we were placing or who was a foster, eventually who would be receiving a dog. And the family, unfortunately, with all the chaos going on, set the dog up for failure. There were too many things going on, too many cooks in the broth. And basically what happened, I mean, the dog is not an aggressive dog at all, but it's a puppy. So the puppy was severely overwhelmed, and they expected way too much of this poor little puppy. And the, you know, the puppy was allowed or was basically in the room with all these toddlers and little kids, you know, running all over and screaming and flapping around with no structure, which common sense would tell you, you don't allow little kids to run at a young puppy because the puppy will become afraid. Well, that's what happened. So now the puppy comes back, and because it's in its fear phase for a few more months, this puppy is on the verge of being ruined for the program. Now, I can fix that, but do I put that puppy in the same family structure, the same exact structure that created that in the first place? This is not just a stray puppy. This is a puppy who was very well bred, who has many, many relatives as service and therapy dogs, comes from excellent, excellent champion, grand champion bloodlines. But because the people, the family, set the dog up for failure, the dog began to fail. So can the dog be fixed? Absolutely. Can the family be fixed? Good luck on that one. They're human. So we have to make sense of all of this. We have to realize that when a dog is thinking like a dog, as dogs do because they're dogs, and he thinks that all these little space alien creatures that are running and screaming, sound like little squeaky toys running at them, are coming at him, he has to protect himself if we have not set him up that we protect him. So we're going to talk about that in a moment, about how do we set our dog up for success. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about a young puppy who was set up to fail and amazingly failed, did not bite, but definitely during the fear phase was not done with what he should have been. And in less than a week, this very stable young puppy who was doing great with hundreds of other children and hundreds of other situations, all of a sudden reacted. Now, does that mean that you're done? Does that mean that you can't use that dog? No, it doesn't. But it means that this is why we have to train people. We have to teach people what is acceptable behavior and how to work with the dog, and to not assume that just because somebody says, oh, I've had dogs my whole life, that it actually means that somebody we can trust with this dog. Because unfortunately, what winds up happening is the dogs are always the ones who pay the price, the ultimate price of euthanasia or being locked away for the rest of their life. So we really have to make sure that we set the dogs up to succeed. That's what we do at United Canine Professionals. So here we go. We've got this dog. The puppy comes in. We place the puppy into a foster home or into a home with without the craziness to restabilize the dog, allow the dog to decompress, and turn back into what he should have been and what he was for the rest of his life. What we do within that is now once we've got the dog confident and in an appropriate home with people who are appropriately handling things and are, you know, not doing silly things like letting, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 two-year-olds run at them. So now we build up the dog's confidence and we try to reintroduce the dog into not that situation but into similar situations with fewer distractions. Sometimes people will take the dog right back in and go right back into the situation, and you can overload a young dog. And even a dog who's fearful, even if it's not just a behavioral phase like this puppy we're discussing, even if it's a dog who is stable and who's older, you have to remember it's like overdosing. It's if you ate too much of a food or you take too much sun, and let's say you get a really bad sunburn, you can't just put cream on yourself and the next day go back out into the sun because you're already reactive from the sunburn you got the previous day. So you've got to do it a little more slowly next time. You have to work with that, put the cream on, or in case of the dog, work with the dog until the dog can understand what we want him to do and get him stabilized again. And then not go out in the sun for hours and hours, but to go out for a few minutes. So we introduce the puppy in a good area where he's very comfortable to having, let's say, one older child, maybe a 4 or 5-year-old out there. And we have that child working with the dog. And, you know, of course, we're doing this all to make sure that the dog will be safe. Then, eventually, you can have two kids who are a little older, and then you can add a baby so that the stable energy of you and the older children will help this dog to not be afraid of all the different circumstances and situations that might arise. So what do we do now that we've got the dog back to being balanced and stable and he's back to doing all the things he used to do, being friendly and loving everybody he meets? What do we do to reintroduce him into the home? Well, if the home was that unstable, then it would be really silly to let that dog go back to where it was obviously not the right situation. And this is one of the biggest problems when we're placing service dogs, either through Merlin's Kids or through SD2. What happens if your dog becomes unstable and you don't see the signs, that's where, or if you don't correct the signs as they happen, that's where the dogs wind up biting someone or doing something really egregious. And obviously we don't want anything like that to happen with a dog who's going to be working with a child. So sometimes that's not the right dog. And regrettably, it's only happened once so far, but it was another situation where the mother thought it would be cute to train our service dog we had placed to growl at the husband because they were having marital issues. So the mother thought it was so cute that she was going to teach this dog to growl. And obviously, if a dog growls, even if it's on command like that, we can't leave a dog in a house. Now, there are certainly agencies that charge $25,000 or $30,000 or more for a dog who are perhaps not objective like that because they're getting paid for it, and they might just place that dog. But then didn't we set the dog up for failure? And all of you know what I do. I set the dogs up for success, not for failure. If you set the dog up for success, the dog will succeed. If you set the dog up for failure, surprise, he's going to fail. So one of the main things to do is to not overstimulate or overload the young dog, especially. If you see the dog fearful, you don't want to back away. You want the dog to have to get through that moment. But then as soon as that moment is over and he's calm and he's relaxing and you start seeing like, oh, this is great. He's calming down. He seems to be okay. That's not when you start reintroducing him to the child or to the thing he's afraid of. That's when you have, you know, take him out for a walk or go do something you would normally do, and he comes with you. You're not walking him. He's coming with you. So the main thing with that is stop focusing on your dog. Don't have your dog always out there waiting to see what you're doing. If the dog knows that you're the provider and protector and that it's your job to take care of him because you're his mommy or his daddy, it's not about the dog being afraid or not afraid. It's about the dog respecting you and feeling that he's got some bond with you and he can trust you. But in order to be with you and to be protected by you and get kept safe, he has to stay by you. Not, Fluffy, get over here. Come, heel, get over here now. Well, I wouldn't be coming to you either if you're screaming like a crazy person at me. But if, on the other hand, you're very calm, and, of course, your dog's energy will affect your behavior and your energy will affect his. So if you find that this dog is suddenly getting excited or anxious or nervous or anything that's not considered to be a calm, kind of stable, confident energy, then you're going to have to intercede and make sure that the dog feels comfortable what he's doing, where he is in his own skin. Now, what are some great ways to get your dog more familiar with, you know, different things like screaming, running, toddlers, because those are pretty scary for us, too, I think, for us adults. Those little kids, man, especially the ones that are in those little bouncy chairs with the wheels, they will run your feet right over, slam into your knees. Well, obviously, a dog is going to see one of these children and is going to say, oh, my gosh, that kid is going to roll me over. I'm going to be out of here. I am not going to be a part of this. And the dog will actually respect the child and get out of the child's way. That's a really good thing. So if we start teaching the dog to yield to us and to yield to any child who we're holding or who's walking with us, whose hand we're holding, the dog will start to learn to respect the child and other children. So it's not that it's not fixable, but you have to be smarter than your dog. And trust me, with a lot of my clients, the dog is not always the one who should be taking the direction. A lot of times the dog is the smarter of the two. And no meaning to be mean or anything, but dogs are a lot smarter than we think they are. So stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And another wonderful high five, high ten, high two paws, four paws up for Dr. Jody Joseph in the newly defrosted Haas. Could not do what we do without her. She's a wonderful, wonderful young lady and future veterinarian. We're very proud of her as one of our wonderful members of UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. Well, at the top of the hour, we were talking a little bit about how you can get involved. What kind of dog is an appropriate dog to be a service dog, a therapy dog, a bomb detection, cancer detection, narcotics dog? Well, they're all very different. The one thing, though, that is very similar is any dog whatsoever has to be well-behaved. They have to be social around other dogs. They have to be social around adults and around children and around wheelchairs and around everything. And I know for the fear of having everybody throw darts through the phone, there are certain breeds that we typically expect that are bright that really aren't as a breed. We won't mention specifics, but there are a lot of things that rhyme with, you know, the word cheese doodle. And they're not always, it's not that everyone is bad or everyone is good, but you have to break out of that typical, oh, yes, it's a German Shepherd, so it's a police dog. There are plenty of great German Shepherds who can be used for other purposes. The key is to have a behaviorist, not an obedience trainer. Obedience is great. Some great obedience trainers out there. But even one of the top people in the country who trains dogs for TV and other things, and a lot of the dogs you see as models, and I have a lot of respect for this person, but even this person has dogs with behavioral issues, and when they've got to work with dog with behavioral issues that's getting aggressive, and you're trying to teach or train the dog to do something, you've got to first deal with that behavioral issue because you're going to get bitten. Not by the clicker that you're carrying to use to reward the dog, but really by the dog because you don't understand the dog's behavior. So think about it, if you think you understand, and let's say you're a woman like myself, and if you think that you understand how a man feels and what he looks when he looks at something on the internet or he looks at a pretty girl, you have no idea what he thinks. You can't if you're a female. You only can know that if you're a man. Same way as women, okay? We know what it's like to go through your monthly joy of life there. And if you're going through that every month and your husband says, well, how bad can it be? It's like getting cramps. Okay? If you haven't smacked them and knocked them down to the ground, try to reason with them and explain. You don't know how I feel. Same way, I don't know how you feel. Well, nobody knows how dogs feel, except perhaps for me and a bunch of our people at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, because we study canine behavior and we teach natural canine behavior rehabilitation. It is really just the natural way that dogs interact. There's no dominance theory. There's no cookies. There's no shock collars. There's no prong collars. There's no choker chains. But there's no throwing treats and having a treat bag and going for the obedience through obesity, as I've always said for, whatever, 7 or 8 years since I said that first. It's not that obedience or agility, which I do, rally obedience. It's not that all these different disciplines are not good. They are good. They're wonderful. But if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, how can you deal with the behavioral issue and then just kind of sweep that under the rug, and then all of a sudden the dog who you're training, and he's the top obedience dog in the country, and all of a sudden he starts biting people? Well, if he's an obedience champion, shouldn't he be like the best behaved dog in the world? Well, no, he may just be the best trained dog. And training someone versus teaching is very different. If you're trained to do something, let's say you're trained to fix broken vehicles, you're a mechanic. Well, if you know how to change an oil filter and change the oil on a car, you can pretty much figure out how to change the oil on another car. But if you have a major engine overhaul and your engine and your computer are all fouled up and are really having a hard time working properly, if you are not going to acknowledge that that has an issue larger than you can handle, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. So, anybody who's listening wants to figure out what's going on with their dog and how they can fix their dog's behavioral issues, or if they say, Janice, I want to help people. I want to have a career helping people and helping dogs and really making them have a bond and a connection so that those dogs and those people, their owners, are able to enjoy the best time in the world. Well, that's why we want you to use our 800 number. It's 855, the number 4, the letter K, and then the number PROS, so it's going to be 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS. 855-4-K9-PROS, and we will actually give you free of charge a behavioral consultation by phone. Why do we do that no matter where you are in the country? Because we can fix this by phone very often. Now, aggression or severe separation anxiety? No. I got to go over there or one of our amazing certified specialists, experts or masters are going to need to come to your home because you can't expect to fix something when you send a dog out and, oh, yeah, they're going to take them. It's $1,800 a week, $3,600. And my dog is going to be gone for 2 weeks, and he's going to come back, and he's going to be a perfect little angel, and he's just going to behave perfectly. Now, do you think that little boy or that little child is actually going to do exactly what you said? Well, of course not. He's like a five-year-old kid. He's not going to do it. He's going to get sidetracked. Oh, that's a pretty balloon. Well, I'm going to follow the balloon across the ocean, whatever it is. But the key, again, is to make sure that you understand why the dog is doing what he's doing. And don't reward a behavior that you don't like the same way as you want to pet or reward or cuddle or snuggle a dog who is doing the behavior that we wanted. So imagine if we were sitting and let's say you went to get up. And when you start to stand up and then you say to yourself, oh, wait a minute, there's a dog at my feet. What do you guys do? You step over the dog. So Instead of that, if you put both your feet straight down and just shuffle your feet a little, the dog will actually get out of your way. So that's one way that you can start teaching the dog to respect your space, to respect who you are as his leader, as his mother, as his father, but that it's really important to set clear and distinct boundaries, rules, and guidelines. I think that's what a lot of people miss. They want to love the dog, and they say, oh, I don't want him to not love me anymore. Well, I got news for you. You could not get dogs to love anybody more than my dogs love me. And I'll tell you why. Because my dogs respect me. They love me. They follow me. Because they know no matter what happens, no matter where I am, they know they're safe and that they don't have to do any more providing and protecting. They are happy campers. So that's a great thing. Make sure that when you are, you know, working with a dog or you're doing something, make sure that you already know what you want to do. So what people tend to do is, let's say they're, you know, throwing something away, they're already thinking about, oh, when's recycling day? Instead of just thinking about getting through that moment and fixing the moment in the dog, which I'll talk to you about in a moment, and then moving on and going back to what you were doing. We will be right back. Stay tuned for another fun-filled, exciting episode. We'll be right there.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, in this segment, we're going to be talking, as promised, about some more training techniques and about one of our very, very special dogs who came from Georgia, who was named by an amazing, wonderful man who I was just so fortunate to meet and be friends with, Prince Lorenzo, who's a member of the Borghese family. Prince Lorenzo is awesome. He is one of the most grounded, down-to-earth people I've ever met in my life. He's funny. He's adorable. He's witty. Really lovely guy. But the thing that I love most is he is just an avid animal lover, loves dogs. Well, I chose, when I was down there and we had been gone down there with a rescue group, the devil went down to Georgia and we were with him. Well, when we went down there, there was a really cute dog, and it was about a year and a half ago. This dog's name was Charlie. Well, it wasn't her name, but Lorenzo named this dog Charlie. So everyone thinks she's a boy, and she's got these big, long, floppy ears. I wasn't sure what to do with Charlie. Honestly, Charlie was the most misbehaved dog I'd ever seen in my life. Not a drop of aggression, sweet as sweet could be. But what we wanted to do was to bring her out. So I rescued her, adopted her, took her out of this high kill, all kill shelter. She was one of only a few dogs that was not selected, and I wasn't leaving her there. Let me tell you, this dog chews, or did chew, chased cats, wasn't housebroken, ran away, broke things, ate things. You just couldn't eat. I mean, garbage, moldings, all these different things. She was just a disaster. The single worst, like, as far as list of bad behaviors, obviously, I do dogs that are, like, severely aggressive, so I, you know, work with dogs who are very, very aggressive, but not a bit of meanness in this dog, just a sweetheart. Originally, we rescued her, and I figured, well, I'll take this beautiful plot hound mix, and I'll be able to take her and turn her into a seizure alert dog because she's got such an amazing nose. There was something about Charlie that just was different. There was something about her that when she was doing things, there was just a lot more that I knew that she was capable of. So what I did was I kept her at my farm and started working with her to get rid of the bad behaviors, the cat chasing, the peeing in the house, the destructiveness, the jumping, all the things she did. And she now has a new purpose, and this is so exciting, because this dog is going to be doing our samples, our cancer detection samples, and doing an amazing job. Now, why would she not be a great seizure alert dog or a private service dog? You may ask. Gee, I wonder why not. Because she's so animated and she has so much energy, like a young golden or one of the mixes, the golden retriever, poodle mixes, or, you know, that are kind of hyper. Well, that's her basic temperament. Now, can I fix it? Yes. Does she get along fine with other dogs and animals? Yes. Is she a sweetheart? Yes. Is she smart? Yes. Is she going to be a good, calm dog for somebody? Not on your life. But what would Charlie be great at? Think. What would she be great at? She'd be great at doing a repetitive skill, perhaps finding where a smell came from, and she'd also hopefully be able to start out and, you know, learn from the experiences as she's going. So eventually, she would be pretty well able to, you know, be able to handle herself in whatever situation there was. So, you know, again, it's just really a matter of making sure that our dogs are ready and able to do the job we're giving them. It's not about you saying, oh, I want to buy a big, tall, skinny horse, and yeah, I'm going to do barrel racing with him. Or I'm going to buy a little tiny polo pony, and I'm going to do puissance jumping. Puissance is like 7'8". I mean, those are those crazy jumps that are way above the horse's head, and the horse still gets over it. So you have to find within each dog and within each family what the perfect match will be, what kind of dog and what kind of energy, what kind of training, what kind of size, hair color, all these different things. Does the dog have potential health issues? So all these wonderful things that we thought, okay, that's nice. Start practicing what you preach. And absolutely, you know, give us a call. We will help you. Someone will answer the 855, the number 4, the letter K, number 9, PROS. 1-855-4-K-9-PROS. We will help you by phone, free. If we don't have somebody in your area, we will search and try to find someone in your direct area. So, but the key again is making sure that we look and see what the dog is doing, what kind of system he's got. Is he biting? Is he being sweet? Is he calm? Is he still dropping his head down when you come towards petting him, that he's still afraid? Because if the dog is still afraid at all, like this other dog we started talking about, if the dog is afraid, even though it can be perfect for 8 or 9 or 10 months, if on that one day you have your energy in the gutter, you are very freaked out, you're angry, anxious, frustrated, nervous, whatever you want to say, your dog is going to turn into Cujo in that moment because he's saying to himself in his own little doggy brain, hey, self in my own little doggy brain, I really think that, you know, that I'm in charge. because I can see all this. So if the dog thinks he's in charge, how do we unteach him to be in charge? One of the things is a purposeful and eventful walk. That doesn't mean that we're going to go out and, you know, buy brownie mix and make him brownies, and he'll come back because he smells the brownies. But what we do want to do is to give that dog confidence and give that dog the rules so that he can feel comfortable in any situation because he understands the rules. He understands what's being asked of him. So it's just so important that everybody understands when you're dealing with any dog, but especially with a larger dog or a little dog with a pretty snappy mouth, keep your hands away from the dog's mouth and face. Please don't put your face up to a dog who's growling at you. It's probably not a good thing. So we're going to talk a little about what to do for that dog who's fearful. And as you all know, dogs go in and out of fear, impact, and flight instinct period from roughly 6 to 14 months, with an overlap from about 10 to 12 months, 8 to 10 months, with the fear, impact, and flight instinct phases. So it's really important with that, if you do have a dog in that typical age group, that you want to start amping up your test a little to make sure that you don't have potential issues that could come back and haunt you. So if, let's say, the dog is afraid of loud noises, don't bring him to a gun battle. Bring him somewhere where he can hear the sounds from a little bit away. And some people, and I have a wonderful client who's not too far away from me, who also has a dog with the same issue. The dog can be perfect on a walk most of the time, and then all of a sudden it's like the dog hears some construction or hears something, and the dog starts getting nervous and goes to run. Well, the dog is running not because he's only afraid of whatever's going on, but he's also afraid because he doesn't trust that you are his leader. If you trust your leader and you trust that that person is going to be taking care of you and keeping an eye out for you, he'll never have to be afraid. And we're going to talk about how you can be the strong, silent kind of confident leader in a few minutes. When we return, don't miss it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. We're going to talk about how to rehabilitate a fearful puppy. Now, why don't we at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, why do we not use puppies like most other organizations use? Well, one of the things is because of the fear phase. Now, I was just recently, this past week, at a home with a beautiful golden retriever, and it was lovely, lovely dog. I also did a big, heavy set, real pretty yellow lab. But this golden was supposed to be a service dog and had failed out about halfway through the training. So some poor family put all their energy and time and love into this beautiful dog. Now, not only does the dog have a bum hip, which as a breeder of Grand Champion Show Dog Rhodesian Ridgebacks, does that bother me? Because a lot of these dogs that I see as service dogs have very poor conformation. So they're breeding it for maybe for one single trait, but you can't selectively breed and in a vacuum. And that's one of the things that we talked about in a couple of shows ago, about how breeding, you don't always get just the one trait you want. You oftentimes get other traits. Most of the time you do get something else, which they learned with the Golden Doodles and Labradoodles and all these mixes with the F2 and F3 generation. And if you don't understand that, the F1 is having, let's say, a poodle as a father and a golden as a mother. The F2 would be breeding the doodle mix to the doodle mix, or as these some of these quote-unquote breeders are calling them, F1Bs. Like, ooh, it sounds like a B1 bomber. An F1B, it's still an F2. It's a cross of a cross. You can't have an F1B because that would mean you don't have children. And F1 is the parents. So if you breed purebred to purebred, you get a mixed breed. If you breed the mix to the mix, your third generation is called now an F2. Your fourth generation is called an F3. So the parents are like an F0. So the parents would be the beginning. The children would be the F1, grandchildren F2, great-grandchildren F3. So now think about that. How does that why does that matter, and how does that impact things? Well, this golden retriever, besides having a bad hip and a beautiful dog, but, I mean, it was cow-hocked and splayed feet and just way too big to carry, you know, on his frame. And it wasn't a fat dog. It was just a really pretty dog. But even if that dog makes it, which it didn't apparently because it failed out when it was in a fear phase, even if that dog makes it and becomes a service dog for a family, the dog is going to break down if it doesn't die of an early cancer or something worse. The dog is going to break down because his conformation isn't good. And I can't tell you how many dogs I see out there who are quote-unquote service dogs, some reputably trained and some trained by people who don't, or claimed to be trained by people who don't even know what they're doing. Please at least know that you've got to start out with a dog who's sound. The most important thing, the first most important thing, is to have a dog who has got the physical ability to do something and the brain to match. So the temperament and the conformation have to go together. Because if you have great conformation and a terrible temperament, or a great temperament and terrible conformation, you don't even have anything to start with. You don't have a leg to stand on. So the goal would be to find a very calm, easygoing dog who might be very easy and nice and gentle around people. Let's say you have a hyperactive dog who's the same exact breed, maybe it's a sibling, but this dog is out of control. He's just a knucklehead. Does that mean he can't be a dog for a service dog or a therapy dog? Well, no, it doesn't, but it probably does mean that it's going to take you a lot longer. And if you're trying to train dogs in less than 2 years, which, of course, all of our service dogs, we don't even need that long, but some of the agencies, and some of them actually do an excellent job, they take up to 2 years to train a dog. Well, the problem with training a dog like that is if you train a dog who has bad conformation or has genetic issues, so you put all that training in, you get someone's hopes up, either a person who's blind or a person who has some other disability, and now that dog lasts 2, 3, 4 years and dies. Well, that's heartbreaking because it takes, I mean, I think with us it takes about 6 months for the people to really know that dog inside and out. And that's with us training them intensively, training everyone at the school, training everyone in the family or wherever the dog's going to be placed. But again, the key is to make sure that we choose the right dog. So if you have a dog who's bitten people or has any bite history or growling, he is not a good candidate for a service or therapy dog, period. He can be a great companion dog. Can I fix that? Yes. Can our team at United Canine Professionals, our very talented team of canine specialists around the country in 38 states and 6 other countries, yes, we can fix that. So if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, yeah, call our 800 number, the 855-4-K-9-PROS, or you can even call us or check us out on the website as unitedk9professionals.com. But really assuming that, let's say the dog does do well, and he is a really good dog, and he's got nice conformation where he's not going to break down, and he looks good. we have to remember that we're dealing with something that's alive. We have to think like a dog. And one of the biggest problems is that you have people who don't know dogs, but they think because they trained a dog when they were 23 or their parents had two really great dogs when they were young that they never even had to train because the parents trained it. You're setting your dog up for failure. The most important part is that no one gets hurt and that the dog is not a danger to itself or to others. You have every Tom, Dick, and Harry trying to claim they train service dogs or therapy dogs, and there is no national certification, and this is a problem. So you can have a group who has one or two people in it who don't even know what they're doing, who've never done it, and who go get a dog from a shelter or a rescue or whatever, take the dog and hold on to it for a week or two and say, hey, it's a fully trained service dog. No, it's not. The problem is that the dogs that these people are doing and are trying to provide so that they can make money are the ones that are the issues, because you're not going to have a problem with a Merlin's Kit service dog or one from, you know, these reputable agencies. You're just not going to have that. So what happens, though, is all these little places that you've never heard of, and they're very local, and you know, they've never had any kind of training or anything, and may even lie about having training. They are the ones, or the private little local obedience trainers, who should be focusing on little private local things, and you know, teaching a dog to sit or lie down. You can't assume that you know enough to train a dog to go anywhere from an airplane to a train to a subway to a top of a hotel, to a penthouse, to, you know, a shopping mall, to a hospital, to a supermarket, and think that without training or teaching the dog at all, that you know what the heck you're doing, because it's really frustrating to those of us like myself and like those from other legitimate, reputable agencies, because you're going to ruin it for everybody. So if you think you've got a dog that's got some talent, or that you know of a dog that's got talent, let us know. We are always looking for great dogs. But please don't call if the dog has a bite history or if the dog is terrified of small children, because there are enough things that can go wrong, even with the best dog in the world, that we don't need to take those as service dogs. We can rehabilitate them, turn them into great family pets, but service dogs are held to a far higher standard, and I'm on the forefront of that. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned for the last segment.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. All right, well, we're talking about service dogs and how to train your service dog. There are some great dogs out there. There truly are. But we have to make sure that, you see, what happens is people who don't know, and I have a phrase I always tell my students at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids and SD2, young and old, all of our students learn. And one of the main phrases I use, and you can use it, I'm going to trademark it, but I really want everybody to think about it and use it, is you don't know what you don't know. And it sounds like at the beginning you say, well, of course I don't know what I don't know. Yes, but think about what that means. So if you think you know everything, it shows you know nothing. if you think you know how to train a dog or train a service dog or that you're some kind of an expert because you had three dogs growing up or because you put a shingle up that says, yes, I'm a service dog trainer or I'm a obedience trainer. Even if you've been one of the people who's gone to some kind of online course or you've worked with some, you know, mentor, trainer, person who, of course, is, you know, you don't know, again, what people know and different methods, but we have a lot of accountability. When you're dealing with a service dog, you don't just place a dog. You don't just dump a dog or a therapy dog team. You don't just dump a dog. There's constant recertifications. Our dogs have to be recertified if they're working in a school, if they're working in any kind of public place. All of our dogs go through extensive hundreds and hundreds, if not most of them, thousands of hours of training to be able to get those dogs used to everything. And that's where my problem arises with people who don't do it right. I love teaching people. We have an amazing team at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. We have over 450 people around the country and quite a few in Europe, and like I said, in six European countries, Europe and Asia and even Mexico now. So what we try to do is to educate our people. We choose very, very intelligent people. Most of our people either are in college or have already graduated. We have lawyers. We have veterinarians. We have veterinary students. We have teachers, special needs teachers. We have nurses. We have one doctor. We have people who've owned large businesses. And the great part about it is everyone comes to things with a different viewpoint, and we share those viewpoints. And that is what is so spectacular about our amazing team. And we have people who have dedicated their lives, like I have, and like many of you have, and all of our team members have, to helping animals, and not just to training dogs to sit or lie down, because we don't really care if the dog sits or lies down. The dog will sit or lie down and learn it behaviorally much quicker. And as my good friend Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation learned, you can train a dog, and she followed me around where we were at an event, in a week if you know what to do. But you've got to have a super stable dog. And within a week, a dog, no matter how fearful the dog might be, the dog will learn. But you have to be me. You have to be one of our team who knows the dogs and knows how to get the dogs through that moment and then reward it at the end of that moment. You don't want to reward a dog for a fearful or dominant behavior because guess what's going to happen? You're going to be rewarding the fear or dominance. So again, it's not just, you know, a breed of dog who's great. We look for all different types of dogs. We look for dogs from all over with different backgrounds, different sizes and shapes, because each of the people who needs a service dog needs a specific type of service dog. The exception to that is seeing eye dogs, because a seeing eye dog needs to do the same thing for a man who might be working or living in New York City, or, you know, the same as it would do for, you know, a 22-year-old in college. The dog needs to find the elevator. The dog needs to go where the dog needs to go for that person, maybe going to a supermarket or to a movie. And that's why those dogs can be trained pretty much cookie cutter. But pretty much every other kind of dog, you have to really be able to know what that person is going to need. If the person is, you know, going to be, like for an autistic child, for that person, the dog would need to have different qualities, obviously, than a dog who's going to be detecting cancer in, you know, in people or in samples. So you have to look for the purpose of the dog. And as my good friend, Dr. Temple Grandin, and everybody who's been following this show for a long time knows that I'm very close friends with Dr. Grandin, Temple actually is a big proponent of things done right, of service dogs done right. But she herself has seen a number of times where service dogs, and these were, you know, from legitimate agencies, would growl or lunge at somebody. And I'm talking very reputable agency. that I won't say because you'd all know who it was. So even the best agencies can have a blip or make a mistake or have a dog who, you know, they haven't done everything with. So if the experts can have a mistake, then you need to learn more. And if you want to learn more, and if you say, God, you know, I really want to train service dogs. I want to be able to rescue dogs. I don't want to be able to just pull dogs out and teach them to sit and lie down and say, oh, yeah, it's a service dog, because it's not. And you will be found out, and you will probably, unfortunately, get somebody hurt or the dog hurt. If you want to learn how to do this, we want to teach you. I don't want to be the only one with my knowledge. That is lost for everybody. If everybody keeps all of the knowledge that he or she has that nobody else has, and you keep that to yourself, you might as well go to your grave with it. You've got to teach other people, and that's why we do this at United Canine Professionals. We have a team all over the world, and our team is amazing, and we share our techniques. And yes, I've trained everybody, but yes, we have other people who are expert and who are really just phenomenal at what they do, and we work together. We teach the other people, and I love teaching new people coming in with different methods because you're able to show those people how to do something, and then they can use what you've taught them, and they can go do something great and learn a new way to do something. So it's really about, like my good friend Temple always says, transfer the technology. I know, Jody, you're laughing right now, but transfer the technology. Make sure that when you die, that whatever knowledge you've had, not just knowledge that you learned in a book that everybody knows, but the stuff like I know and the stuff that Temple knows and the stuff that so many wonderful, wonderful people out there know, try to get that information out there so that others can enjoy it and they can learn. So that's really what it's about. It's about being a team player, not having ego, not having to say, yes, I do this and I've done that, and try to prove everything that you think you've done. Because, again, if you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. You don't know what you don't know, and people who only think they know are dangerous. So let's try to get together. Let's contact UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, MerlinsKids.org, 855-HI-WYATT, or 855-4-CANINE-PROS. Help us out. Let us know if there's a great dog, or if you have a neighbor, friend, child, sister, whatever, who loves dogs, loves children, loves people, or just loves dogs and wants to learn how to rehabilitate them to help them at shelters, rescues, and other places around the country. And help us to build even a bigger, better team to be able to help more dogs every day so we don't have 4 million dead dogs next year euthanized in shelters. Well, unfortunately, that's it for today. But thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week. So have a safe, healthy, wonderful week. Take care.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.